Hey friends, this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we're talking about innovation in housing with Garrett Moore from Agoras. We'll talk about subterranean basements and kind of the craziness today has to do with innovating and updating some of the processes around new construction. So I was really nerding out and enjoying it. And I think you'll enjoy the conversation too. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. I'm excited to hear more about you and Agoras and what you're working on.
Right on. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell my listeners a little bit about who you are, where you're located, how long you've been in and around the real estate space.
Right on. So I'm out in San Diego, got introduced into the real estate space in kind of a backhanded way. I was in the Navy at the time in San Diego, went to go build my first house and ran headlong into the buzzsaw that is construction and real estate in a coastal market. And so it developed in me a passion stemming from a pain point.
So why did you decide to build and not buy a resale home? Did you get addicted to the smell of sheetrock, or was it a location thing, or?
It was a unique opportunity thing. So I got a great relationship with my family. We bought a property in Coronado, which is a very nice area, tremendously land constrained. But it was the cheapest house on the island. It was the only house my wife and I can afford on a Navy lieutenant salary. And there was a landlocked piece of property that was split in a 19-way trust. And we were the only person that could buy it. This seems as ridiculous in other parts of the country, but in Coronado, $200,000 for a buildable lot is crazy. So we said, Mom, Dad, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know real estate, but I'm pretty certain this is a great deal. Let's buy this back little piece of property. Well, in so doing, my brother, sister, and I were all in San Diego. My mom and dad said, well, hey, let's get into development. Let's take that. Let's build two houses and we'll live next to each other. We got a great relationship. So it worked. Well, then my co-founder and business partner ended up buying part of that. And so we kind of turned it into a pseudo development. And in that process, it was required to tear down some of the houses and get your hands dirty with real estate.
You said it was landlocked. How did you get access to it for a driveway or for right-of-ways? What did you work out?
So it required some trickery and some cleverness. So what we ended up doing is we took a lot, split it into two kind of long, skinny lots. And in that process, in order to make it work, because these lots are 3,500 square feet, so it's tight. It's really, really tight. What we did is in San Diego, you're required to have 10% of the lot width as an internal easement. So you take one house, you take the next house, you got 8 feet. We just spread it a little bit further. And then in that, we created a driveway. And so there's a driveway that splits both houses, goes to a subterranean garage. And now all of a sudden, you've got enough space that you can build two houses.
Like the back cave, like that kind of a garage?
Kind of like a back cave. So it goes down and then it tees, and both houses have their own garage. They're two separate parcels, sellable separately. They just share the internal easement with a driveway.
I don't think I could live with a subterranean garage. That sounds way too creepy for me, but we would never have that in Red Clay, North Carolina. But I'm surprised you would do it in the coastal area. Isn't the water table going to preclude that?
It is in certain areas, but where we are, the water table is low enough that you still have that area. And the way the city looks at Florida area ratio, they don't count anything below ground against you. And so that allows you to kind of essentially build a bigger house. Like somehow it just doesn't count. So then we've got downstairs basements and garages that don't count to your total square footage because they cap that from a density perspective.
So is it taxable space then?
It is not taxable because of the way that we designed it. So it's not livable space. It is sheetrocked and carpeted and heated and cooled, but essentially it is treated as unimproved space.
Okay, that's wild. So if you were buying a house without a realtor, how would you know any of these details in the San Diego area?
In Coronado is a specific and it's kind of a specialized market. And so people that know that area, it's kind of got some unique rules. And so usually if you're buying in that area, your realtor knows that area backwards and forwards because there's all of like maybe 1,000 houses on the island, 2,000 houses. It's a pretty small community.
But it's a reason, though, to make sure that you're talking to somebody who is a specialist in that market, because that is wildly unique. And if they're, say, a Sacramento realtor who's trying to do something in California just because they can really get somebody in trouble.
There are lots of quirks to this area that would be beneficial to have a local real estate agent. And it would really help, too, because if you ever need to go back to the city, then you're going to want that personal relationship of, hey, I know you, you've worked around here before. Here's how we fix this or deal with an issue if something comes up.
Subterranean garage is wild. I can't even think about that. How do you not get claustrophobia down there?
I mean, this, it's like a 8-9 foot ceiling. So what we ended up doing is we actually built modularly. So what they did was they actually carved out the driveway, precast and poured the foundation, and then flew the modules in and dropped them right on top of the garage.
So the house got flown in. So basically a drone dropped your house in on top of the back cave on this shared driveway easement on a 19-person trust lot. So yeah, so I guess that would put a big pain point in anybody's life for a lot of reasons. So who is Agoras and what did you start?
So what actually started it was going through that. So my background is actually as a SEAL. So I was deployed in the Middle East trying to coordinate and quarterback this entire process. And I remember the straw that broke the camel's back was the modules had already been dropped. And I was literally trying to track down an electrician. It was like a Tuesday afternoon. My wife and I have three young kids. I'm in the Middle East trying to just get somebody to show up at the job site and do their job. And that's finally when I said, all right, enough is enough. Screw it. I've got to figure out how to solve this problem. Because when you start talking to people, a lot of people have construction drama, renovation drama, new build drama. It's kind of, it's baked in. You just expect it from the get-go. It's going to take twice the time at twice the price. And I lived it. And so I was like, absolutely not, unacceptable. I'm going to find a way to export special operations prowess into this industry and throw technology and we'll figure out as we go. So that was the genesis of Agoras. We got started in 2018. I have a mechanical engineering degree, but not a construction background. So I did not know a lot about the industry. I just knew that that is not what Wright looked like. We're landing rockets on the open ocean on barges. We can figure out how to do a better job of this. So for Agoras,
I got to point out, I love that you understand that being a deployed Navy SEAL is still less onerous than managing three small children. And so that you took that off your wife's plate. So, I mean, high five to you for that.
100%. People thank you for your service. And I'm always like, stop. I just soaked up taxpayer dollars, like jumping out of planes and shooting guns. The person that's serving is that woman that's got three kids under five and no husband around to help. And she's living in an apartment while dealing with a construction site.
She's like area two and you're over here in area one. It's entirely two different worlds. I mean,
not even the same. Any spouse that has a deployed service member and especially has kids at home deserves all the thanks in the world. That's a miserable, miserable job. So she is the toughest woman I know for sure. So
especially managing contractors is next to impossible anyway, with labor shortages that aren't new to the COVID era. They've been happening for a long time in the trades. And so you guys were trying to manage all of your subs yourself. Did you get your general contractor license? Were you trying to save dollars? How did you wind up managing subs?
I went through six general contractors and all of them were just complete deadbeats. And finally, I was like, I don't have a choice. There's nobody else left in the city. So I'm going to figure this out. So I pseudo acted as a project manager because I'm not a licensed general contractor. And it was kind of a weird handoff because part of the work is getting done offsite, getting stamped by the state and then it was an absolute cluster. But in so doing, it forced a lot of learning and a lot of development for me. And so, you know, best way to learn how to swim is just get thrown into the ocean and you just figure it out. So that process taught me a lot. But ultimately what I came to, what's interesting, you keyed on the labor issue was, man, this is a big problem. And this is getting worse. And over the last 3 or 4 years, it's gotten even more and more acute as all your listeners are dealing with. This is not a Southern California issue. This is now a national issue. And I say these numbers and you live them and you know it, but we're 5+ million homes underwater since the global financial crisis. 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old millennial Gen Zers don't want to go out and swing a hammer. And so we've got an existential decline in the trades and it's econ 101, supply and demand. So is it any surprise that housing prices are going up? Like, this is a generational problem. Like we're going to see this for the rest of the 2020s. It's not the Fed's going to drop rates and all of a sudden housing is going to get fixed. Like it's going to be here for a while. So in that macro context, we're looking at this going, we've got to find and tap into best in class technology to help offset this problem. So we invented a bunch of software and kind of cool manufacturing robotics that essentially allows you to send all this, you know, send the hive mind a picture of whatever complex residential structure, ADU, single family, multifamily apartments. If you can build it out of wood, the software will take it, digests it, spits it out. And on the backside, you've got a bunch of zeros and ones wirelessly sent out to machines in a factory. And then that custom home is getting built as a series of 2D panels shipped to the job site and installed in a matter of a couple days.
So first of all, for those of y'all that are new-ish to the show, if you don't know what an ADU is, that's an accessory dwelling unit. And there is an episode you can go back and listen to with an expert on that space that will give you some insights with Rogelio Martinez. So go check that one out if you want some information. And it's the one thing California has done right. I have to rip on California most of the time for their terrible housing policies. But they got it right with allowing accessory dwelling units statewide, because that's a very elegant solution to a lot of our housing crisis. But in regard to this assembly of houses by 2D panels, are you basically talking about developing a blueprint and then it gets 3D printed and sent back to the job site to be assembled?
No, yes, in a sense. Now, when most people think of 3D printing, they think of something that's extruding it, like out of concrete or plastic. You'd walk through our houses and you would never know where or how they were built. It's the exact same material. So there's no material innovation just yet. It's a lot of manufacturing and process innovation, because the way that you build in North Carolina is different than San Diego, is different than LA, is different. There's so much variance. And so what the software does is it tackles all of that complexity and variance, breaking it down so that by the time it gets to the job site, it's IKEA simple. Drop the panels on the slab, connect the panels, make the connections, and button it up. And then all of a sudden, now you're at your sheetrock, and then you're kind of getting into all your finished trades. So our long-term vision as a company is that builders, developers, real estate investors, homeowners would be consistently 30 days from permits to keys anywhere and everywhere they want to build.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime, while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now. And it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible, because friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So what is the difference in getting permits on this versus a traditional stick-built house? Have you had any issues with municipalities on getting approvals on this? Are they open to the idea? Because part of their challenge is a lack of creativity when it comes to understanding how houses work.
Lack of creativity is putting it quite politely and nicely. At the end of the day, two things. One is they don't even know how or where it's built. So there's been no issue. The second thing we've had is, because we are vertically integrated, all the files, everything nests. So there's no architecture that's different than structural engineering. So it blends well. So our plans tend to go through permitting even faster. Where we're currently actually working, especially on the ADU front, and even trying to work up into single family, is starting to get upstream and either get your plans pre-approved at the state level or pre-approved by local municipality. So a homeowner can walk in, pull permits that day, and immediately go start building.
Okay, so there'll be a fully pre-approved floor plan that is approved for permits based on the lot,
No, it doesn't even have to be based on the lot. So as an example, so LADBS right now, so Los Angeles Building Code, San Diego is doing something similar. Essentially, you could go in and you can say, hey, I want to build an ADU in my backyard. And then you pull something off the shelf and say, I like that model right there. And there's variance in the model and styles and roof pitches, et cetera. You bake all that in. So you can pay over the counter $500, whatever, get your permits and go start building right away. And then you're taking out all of the back and forth. You're taking out the stress on their building department, because it's been pre-engineered, pre-architected, and it's pre-approved.
So they're not going to come out and verify the footprint and the envelope and all those pieces?
No, because in California, the state's basically taking that authority. So as long as you fall within these certain rules, you know, it's not a certain height and there's a square footage limit. I think it's 1,000 square feet, depending on jurisdiction. Some jurisdictions are 1,200. But as long as you fit within those rules and it's pre-approved, then you're good. Now, obviously, you got to come back and the inspectors have to come inspect the work to make sure that it's safe and, you know, to spec and all that. But you can same day permits.
So I'll just point out, this is something that we probably do need a little bit of regulatory oversight on most municipalities, because of the impact on water and sewer of additional buildings, and also how different topography is different. And so spoiler alert, wherever you live, if you're thinking this sounds intriguing, you probably want to talk to your planning and zoning department about this before you get overly excited, because it's going to be different area by area. Now, of course, I'm an anti-government regulation person who just said we need some regulation, but I've also watched houses be built in the wrong places, and I've seen water and sewer capacity completely tapped out. So you got to pay attention to these things. But I got to ask a really important question here. So when you send this house to the job site, do you have to be a general contractor to put it together? And how does it work with managing subs like plumbing and electrical and insulation and all of those pieces? Because you've totally compressed the time frame, I guess, given the constraints of the labor market, it can only compress so far right now. Is that correct?
Yes. So I would say where we are right now is generally you want a general contractor to manage your project. If you haven't done that before, it's usually a good idea. In concept, we want to get to the point where it's so simple that you could essentially become the general contractor if you wanted to, because it's that easy. Not looking to replace generals or subs, we're just looking to leverage their efforts and allow them to do more. And sure. So what this looks like is at scale, essentially, you've got a panel that comes with most of the guts already inside of it. Your plumbing, electrical, HVAC, insulation, windows, wrap, all that kind of stuff. Because ultimately, where the most value can come from a manufacturing perspective is from slab to sheetrock. At sheetrock, you now run into the complexity of, I like that paint color, that floor, that cabinet, that countertop, et cetera. And that's what customers care about. That's what we as homeowners care about. We want to customize all the stuff that we look at. Most people don't know or care what's behind the sheetrock. It's like magic. Yeah, they're just a flip a switch and lights come on. Like, I don't even know how that works, but I really like that light fixture.
So is it like IKEA furniture? It comes with extra parts that you wind up not using. And what happens to that bag of parts? Do you hide that from the code inspector, or how does that work?
Essentially, everything comes ready to go offsite so that you don't have to deal with, oh man, I'm missing these screws, or IKEA pre-drilled it in the wrong spot. I use IKEA from the model of like, it should be so wicked simple that you can just follow the chart. No language, no nothing.
It's like, theory makes sense.
Yes. Now, the problem is, There is, I'm glossing over some of the technological complexity to take all of that and break it down to simple. But when we look at the future, we think of home and construction, it needs to be more like a product rather than an aggregated batch of processes. In other words, you go buy a car, you don't care how the tires got put on the rims, you're just like, I paid this, I want that, give it to me. And so that's the productization of construction is really where we need to head.
Gotcha. Okay. So in this space, where are you in your life cycle of the company? Are you delivering houses right now, or are you about to deliver houses? Where are y'all currently?
So we're on our second factory here down here in San Diego. We've built 100 something houses to date. We've dabbled in trying to expand geographically, and we quickly realized it's such a large market. We've got to perfect ourselves in our backyard first before we add the tyranny.
We talk about that on Shark Tank, you know, proof of concept.
So we are still in the establishment stage, making sure our foundations are strong here in the LA and San Diego area, trying to scale up with a national presence as quickly as we possibly can, but not doing it before we are absolutely ready, because ultimately you want to have a quality product and process, and that the devil is in the details and making all that scalable.
So I'm curious, are you familiar with Boxable? Is that going to be a competitor to you, or where do you guys compare? Because I'm really intrigued by their model as well.
Their model is outstanding. So very familiar with Boxable. And I have to add, I love all of the tech innovators that are trying to tackle this. And I usually say, this is not a winner take all. We need everybody to win. And then another round of double that again, because this problem is so large. And everybody's kind of taking a slightly different approach. Where Boxable is doing a great job is really tackling kind of the simple ADU market, which is great. We're trying to build a little bit more of a building technology that can span a whole bunch of residential construction. So really 5 stories and below light timber. We're trying to, at our core, we're a technology company, not really a builder. And so we are trying to build the technology infrastructure that can allow the builders to really juice up their production with less labor.
So is part of your goal to reduce the cost to the consumer in the whole process, or just to reduce pain points and time?
It's all of the above. There's no reason that construction should not be better, faster, cheaper. And then the wild card recently that most people don't realize about is greener. And so whether it's green because you care about the environment, or green because you just want to pay less electricity, the built environment accounts for 50% of global carbon emissions. And so insulation and the tightness of how you actually build and the heating and cooling systems that you use can make a huge difference. And so out here in Southern California, with kind of the prevalence of solar, almost every home should be net zero in the sense of you throw up a handful of panels. If the home is well built enough, you should essentially not need to pay an electricity bill. And the amount that we pay in electricity is abhorrent. It's terrible. So really trying to add that value and again, get customers to demand and expect more from construction than they do. Because right now, our bar of society, what we expect from the construction industry is pretty darn low. I had a customer one time tell me, hey, Garrett, if you don't give me a bid on a napkin written in crayon and you return my phone calls, you're in the top like 1 or 2% of your field.
And that's nationwide. That is not a California thing. That is everywhere.
That's a travesty. That's unacceptable for a civilized society.
Opportunity for millennials and Zoomers if they would do trades and work with their hands and actually, you know, work really hard. You can really make a huge living almost immediately without the necessity of going in an insane amount of college debt, which is college is such a scam right now. Anyway, what a great opportunity for young people who enjoy working and want to be entrepreneurs to go get involved in this space and dial in with some of these innovative companies too.
Absolutely.
All right. So last question before I let you tell people where to find you. Do you know David Goggins? Because I have to know, because he's like my motivation crush.
So the SEAL community is very small. You end up knowing everybody or you end up being one layer removed from everybody. So they either put you through training or whatnot. So Dave is no exceptions. Dave and Jocko Willink are two of kind of our brand evangelists, so to speak, on the outside. And those guys are every bit as hard and downright crazy to a certain extent as they do it. I just got a text message from a buddy, not Dave, but that kind of thing where he's like, yeah, I just ran the 100-mile marathon through the Death Valley. I'm like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with this batch of people where we like, where did the wires get crossed where all of a sudden, like, these are normal things that you like, how far do you need to go before you say, okay, you know what? That's probably too far.
Ultra people are really unique anyway. And Jocko's cool, but he's no Goggins. Goggins is like the king. So, you know, if I invest in Agoras, can you connect me to David Goggins? I mean, is this the perk of being an investor in your company? And are you guys accepting investments right now?
So we are to a certain extent. So at this point, if folks are interested, we're kind of in like an in-between stage where we can set up some things with the board where we can kind of invest off-cycle or their secondary sale opportunities and whatnot. But at the end of the day, our biggest thing is we're looking for other folks that are passionate about construction and real estate innovation and are eager to work with or invest in and partner with like-minded people that are like, you know what, let's take this in. Let's do to construction what Tesla did to Detroit, where all of a sudden like the industry shifted and now everybody's doing EVs. That's what we want to get to in construction, where we change the narrative. And I'd be very honored if a ton of people behind us lined up and copied and shifted and changed their business model as a result.
So now I haven't checked into this and I may should already know the answer, but have you guys connected to the National Association of Realtors and Second Century Ventures, which is the venture capital arm of Realtors?
So National Association of Realtors, no, not directly. Second City, we reached out to a while back. Second Century, we reached out and I think chatted with them briefly when we were fundraising, but it's been honestly so long since that happened. It's probably worth a reattack.
Okay, well, I will, with your contact information, I'll dial you into that arm, because that's one of the most interesting thing that the realtors are doing is investing in and supporting innovative tech companies like yourself that can help alleviate some of the housing inventory crisis, which is not going anywhere as our population grows. And so with that being said, how can people reach out to you if they want to learn more about what you're doing and get involved in the space at all? What's the best contact way?
Easiest thing is through our website or just hit me up directly on LinkedIn and saying, hey, Garrett, heard the podcast. Would love to connect because I'm an investor, a customer, a real estate investor. Or, hey, I like robots and I like construction and I like those two going together. Like, let's chat. So it takes a village to raise a startup. And I know I can't do this on my own. So really looking for other folks that want to jump in and partner with us on the way.
And of course, guys, all of Garrett's contact information is in the show notes for this episode. So it's easy for you to click and connect. And then when you tell him you're a big old nerd and you want to learn some stuff, you could also give him a high five for service in the SEALs. So we appreciate you, but we especially appreciate your wife and those three kids. So good job repopulating the earth. That's what we have to be doing right now. So thanks for coming on the show and for giving us some insights into what you're doing to reduce some pain points. And frankly, I'm glad I don't have to deal with subterranean basements in North Carolina because yay, geographical differences.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate our chat.
All right, guys, for more information, go to the show notes. Otherwise, I'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.